Usually when we sit down to prep for these deep dives, I'm sifting through a stack of
Right,
articles.
the usual white papers and trend forecasts.
Exactly. Maybe a book or two, just trying to piece together where things are heading in, say, 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, the standard futuristic outlooks.
But this time, I don't know, the source material just feels different. It feels less like a forecast and more like a warning shot.
It definitely has a very specific, almost urgent vibe to it, doesn't it?
It really does. We are looking at this data coming out of Tikan Garage, and the imagery they use here is just fantastic. They talk about sensors locked onto a volatile frequency coming out of Silicon Valley.
Yeah, that phrasing.
I mean, it sounds like the opening scene of a cyberpunk novel,
All
honestly.
right.
But the crazy part is the claim isn't fiction. The claim is that while we've all been distracted by chatbots and image generators, the actual revolution has already started.
Right under our noses.
Right, and it's happening right now in the code repositories.
It is a dramatic image, the whole volatile frequency thing. But when you strip away that noir style, the underlying data is incredibly grounded. We aren't looking at sci-fi predictions for 2040. We are looking at compiled source code that's being deployed on global cloud servers literally as we speak. This is the 2026 reality.
Right. And the headline the sources use for this is the agentic attack,
Yes.
which frankly
Yep.
sounds a bit aggressive, but the core thesis here is that we are crossing a major line. We are leaving the era where humans use software,
Yeah.
and we are entering an era where software manages other software.
That is the absolute crux of it. It's a structural shift in the economy.
Yeah.
We are moving from tools, things you hold and use, to a synthetic workforce.
A workforce.
Exactly. And honestly, if you're listening to this and you're still looking at AI and thinking, oh, cool, a chatbot that can write a poem or summarize an email, you're missing the tsunami because you're staring at a ripple.
Okay, so let's unpack that. Because I think for 99% of people, myself included, AI equals LLM. It equals ChatGPT. I type a prompt, it gives me an answer. The source material calls this current phase the text
The
cage.
text cage. It's the perfect analogy.
How so?
Well, to understand why this new agentic shift is such a big deal, you have to understand the fundamental limitation of what we have right now. Large language models, or LLMs, run on a mechanism called next token prediction.
Which is basically high-end autocomplete, right?
At a very sophisticated, emergent level, yes. You ask a question, and the model calculates the statistical probability of the next word and the word after that. It's a brain in a jar.
A brain in a jar.
Yeah. It can give you a brilliant marketing strategy. It can write perfect Python code to solve a very specific problem. But, and this is the key, it has no hands.
It can't actually do anything.
Exactly. It's trapped in the text box. If it writes code for you, you still have to copy it.
Right, I have to open my terminal.
We have to open the terminal, you have to paste it, set up the environment, debug the dependencies, and manually hit execute. The AI provides the intelligence, but the human provides the agency. You are the bottleneck.
I feel that bottleneck every single day. I have these great tools, but I'm still the one clicking all the buttons. So the source material pivots here to something called a LAM, a large action model. How is that different?
This is the breakout from the text cage. We are officially moving from generation making text to execution, actually doing work. An autonomous agent, or a LAM, operates on a totally new cycle. Perceive, plan, act. It possesses what the engineers at the garage call digital limbs.
Digital limbs. That sounds handy, but what does it actually mean in practice? The notes mention this ad campaign example that seemed pretty illuminating.
It's the best way to visualize the shift. Think about the old model, the LLM model. You type in, how do I run a Facebook ad campaign for $500?
And the AI gives you a bulleted list. Step one, log in. Step two, click create. Step three, upload your image.
Right. And then you spend 2 hours actually doing those steps.
Yeah, exactly.
In the agentic model, you don't ask how. You issue a command.
Like a manager.
Precisely. You say, run a campaign for this product. Budget is $500. If the click-through rate drops below 2% in the first 6 hours, swap the image, rewrite the copy, and inject a full report into my database at 8 a.m. tomorrow.
Wait, so the agent is actually logging in?
Yes. The agent independently opens a browser instance. It reads the HTML code of the page to find the buttons. It inputs the credit card details.
Wow.
It monitors the dashboard over time. It navigates the interface just like you would, but at machine speed and without ever needing a coffee break.
That is a wild difference. It's not offering advice anymore. It's taking ownership of the entire task.
It is the exact difference between hiring a consultant and hiring an employee.
Which brings us to this character mentioned in the source material, Claude. Apparently, he walked into the server room at the garage with a tray of virtual cupcakes.
I love that detail. It really humanizes it and reminds you that actual people are building this stuff.
Right. But he drops this insight while he's there. He says agents aren't just a software update. They are a synthetic workforce.
And he is spot on. Think about a standard tool, like a hammer or even Photoshop. A tool is inert.
It sits there until you pick it up.
Exactly. If you stop moving, the tool stops working. A synthetic workforce is entirely different. It thinks, decides, and acts in parallel with you.
Parallel, that's kind of a scary word in this context.
Or exciting, depending on where you sit in the economy.
Yeah.
But the point is, you aren't buying software anymore. You are hiring software.
Hiring software?
Yes. You're deploying digital entities that consume energy and produce value while you are off doing something else.
That phrase really changes the mental model. It's not an asset, it's labor. But I do want to push back on this a little bit.
Sure.
Because we hear this changes everything constantly in tech. Every week there's a new revolution. The sources draw parallel to the dot-com boom. Is that actually a fair comparison, or is it just hype to get us to pay attention?
It is a very fair comparison, but you have to look at the infrastructure side of the dot-com era, not just the stock prices.
Okay, meaning what?
If we go back to the late 90s, early 2000s, there was this unwritten law. It was. If you aren't on TCPIP, basically, if your business doesn't have a website, you don't exist.
Right. If you weren't online, you were invisible.
And yes, the bubble burst. The tech tourists who threw money at anything with a .com suffix got wiped out. Remember pets.com?
Vaguely. The sock puppet mascot, right?
Yeah, they crashed hard.
Yeah.
But, and this is crucial, the infrastructure remained. The fiber optics, the servers, the protocols. That foundation is what allowed Amazon and Google to completely take over the world.
So the argument here is that we are in the agentic boom right now.
We are in the build phase of it, yes.
Yeah.
And the new law coming down the pipe is even more ruthless than the internet law.
What's the new law?
If your business, your database, or your software isn't readable and executable by AI agents, you will be removed from the economic loop.
Whoa! Removed from the economic loop? That sounds fatal. But why? If I have a website, humans can still find me.
But will humans be the ones looking? That's the question. If everyone is using a personal agent to find flights or buy clothes or research vendors, and your website is a clunky, visually heavy mess that an agent can't parse, you don't show up in the results.
Because the agent ignores you.
Exactly. You become invisible to the workforce that is doing the actual buying.
So the internet allowed humans to connect to each other. But this agentic wave...
It removes the human element from routine work entirely. The internet sped up the connection. Agents replaced the connector. It's described in the sources as a much more violent and structural disruption because it's not just facilitating trade, it's automating the participants in the trade.
Okay, that brings me to what the sources call the silent victim. When we talk about automation, I usually picture robots in a factory or maybe AI writing news articles. But the source points the finger at something else entirely. User interface and user experience, UI and UX.
It makes complete sense if you follow the logic of how agents work. Who is the UI for?
Well, it's for me. It's so I don't have to read raw code.
Right. It is biological. Buttons, colors, drop-down menus, pretty animations. That is all a translation layer for human eyes.
We need a graphic shell to understand the data.
But an agent has no eyes. It doesn't care about your brand's color palette or your smooth hover effects.
It just wants the raw data.
Exactly. It operates on zero UI. It reads the document object model. It wants data structures and API endpoints. If you force an agent to look at a screen, it's incredibly inefficient.
Zero UI. That sounds like an absolute nightmare for front-end designers.
It's a total paradigm shift. The source even mentions that companies like Apple are already redesigning their OS architecture at the kernel level.
Really? At the kernel level?
Yes. They are building hooks so that agents can speak directly to the hardware and the applications, bypassing the visual screen entirely.
So if I'm a startup founder listening to this and I'm obsessing over how pretty my app's dashboard looks,
you might be completely wasting your time. The source calls this the inspector's strategic debug.
Right.
If your entire competitive advantage is that your dashboard is prettier than the other guys, you will die. Agents will slice right through that graphic shell.
Because if the data underneath isn't accessible, the agent just moves on.
Exactly. If your API is bad, the agent chooses a different service in milliseconds.
So front-end developers essentially need to evolve into system architects.
They need to stop building for human eyes and start building for algorithms.
Wow. And this bleeds into the business model, too. We've been living in the SaaS world, software as a service, for, what, 15 years now?
At least.
And the model is standard. I pay $50 a month per seek for my team to use the software.
And the source material calls that model a clever illusion.
That's a pretty harsh take on a trillion-dollar industry.
Is it, though? Think about it. SaaS essentially says, hey, I'll rent you an incredibly advanced digital shovel for $50 a month.
Okay.
It was a great shovel. But who still has to sweat and dig the hole?
I do.
You do. You pay for the privilege of doing the work yourself.
When you put it that way, it does sound like a raw deal.
It was the best we had.
Oh.
But with agents, we are moving from SaaS to work as a service. The pricing model fundamentally flips to outcome-based pricing.
Make that concrete for me. What does that invoice actually look like?
Okay, take a traditional CRM like Salesforce or HubSpot. Currently, you buy seats so your sales team can log in, track leads, and send emails.
Right.
In the agentic future, you don't buy a CRM. You hire a smart sales agent. You don't pay a monthly subscription for access to the software. You pay a percentage of the closed deal.
Wait, so if the agent doesn't sell anything, I don't pay?
Exactly. The agent analyzes your data, finds the leads, crafts the emails, books the meetings, and updates the database automatically. It becomes an active coworker with actual skin in the game.
That terrifies me for the legacy SaaS companies. If I can pay for results instead of just renting tools, why would I ever go back to the old way?
You wouldn't. And that's exactly why The Source predicts the death of traditional SaaS wrappers. If startups are just wrapping OpenAI APIs in a pretty interface, they're dead. Only the infrastructure, the GPU clusters, the data centers will survive.
This leads us to the concept in the notes that I honestly found the most unsettling, the dark forest.
It's an evocative name.
It sounds like a horror movie. But we're talking about software. What is happening in this forest?
This is where we talk about multi-agent systems, or MAS. This is what happens when agents stop talking to humans and start talking directly to other agents.
My agent calls your agent.
But faster. Much faster. Imagine you need to buy a server for your company. In the old world, you browse Amazon, you compare prices, you maybe email a vendor.
Right. It takes a few days.
In the dark forest, you trigger your personal procurement agent. You just say, I need a server, here are the specs, here's my budget.
And then I go to sleep.
You go to sleep, your agent dives into the network, it scans thousands of supplier sites via their APIs, it finds a sales agent representing a supplier in Germany.
Okay.
And these two agents engage in a negotiation.
They're actually negotiating, like haggling.
They are haggling. They negotiate the price, the shipping speeds, the warranty terms, they verify each other's cryptographic keys to ensure it's not a scam, and they execute the smart contract.
And all of this happens
in milliseconds.
Yeah.
While you are asleep, concepts like CAPI-T, CHAs, you know, click all the traffic lights to prove you're human, they become completely meaningless here. These agents aren't navigating visually. They navigate structurally.
It sounds incredibly efficient. But, you know, efficiency usually has a cost. What happens to the people who used to do that coordination? The middle management, the procurement officers?
That is the hard truth of this deep dive. The middle management class, the people whose jobs primarily consist of moving data from one software platform to another or organizing meetings to update people on that data, those jobs are highly vulnerable.
Because agents don't need update meetings.
No. They're swallowed by the agent networks. Agents just sink.
So the coordinator, the middleman, is an endangered species. That's grim. But is there a flip side to this? Because the notes also talk about the rise of the one-person unicorn.
This is the empowering part of the equation. We are seeing the rise of the architect founder.
An architect founder. I like the sound of that.
In the past, if you wanted to build a company that rivals a Fortune 500, you needed an army. You needed an HR department, marketing, back-end engineering, finance, legal.
You needed a literal office building and millions of dollars in payroll.
Huge overhead. Now, one person, if they understand how to orchestrate these systems, can simulate entire departments using agents.
So I just spin up a marketing agent?
You spin up a marketing agent and give it access to your social accounts. You define a dev agent and connect it to GitHub. You deploy a finance agent to manage your Stripe account.
And these agents don't take vacations.
They don't burn out. They don't sleep. And crucially, they scale instantly.
Because if you need more output, you don't put out a job listing.
Right. You don't hire more people. You just allocate more compute power.
So scalability isn't about headcount anymore.
No. Scalability is about electricity and silicon.
That is a staggering shift. It basically says that the ceiling for what one single person can achieve has just been blown into outer space.
It has. but it also raises the floor for the skills required. You can't just be a cog in the machine anymore. You have to be the designer of the machine.
Which brings us to a quote from the source material that I really wanted to highlight. It's from Sabrina at the studio. She said, "True technology becomes magical only when it becomes completely invisible."
It's a beautiful insight.
It is. But in this context, it feels a bit double-edged.
It does. But think about the Dark Forest example. All that haggling, the form filling, the credit card entry, it all becomes invisible. The friction completely disappears. You just state your intent, and the result magically appears in your hand.
But it requires us to trust that invisible infrastructure.
Entirely.
So let's ground this for a second. We've covered a lot. Text cages, zero UI, the Dark Forest, architect founders. If I'm listening to this and I want to survive this agentic attack, what is the survival doctrine? What do I do tomorrow?
If you're a developer, the message is stark. Stop building superficial apps. Stop obsessing over the color of the buy button or the drop-down animation. Build APIs.
Build the infrastructure.
Build protocols. Build the handles that an agent can grab onto. Okay. If your software cannot be operated by a script, it is already obsolete.
And if I'm a business leader or just someone working in a standard company?
Stop looking at AI as just a content generator. That is the text cage trap. Don't just use it to write your emails faster.
Right.
Start looking at your operations. Where are your bottlenecks? Where are your people just moving data from point A to point B?
The coordination layers.
Exactly. Those are the processes you need to start delegating to agentic networks. You need to transition your mindset from managing people to orchestrating outcomes.
It really feels like we're standing at a major crossroads. The source material actually describes this as a cybernetic war.
It is a war. It's a war between the legacy middlemen, the hackers, and the bureaucrats who thrive on friction and inefficiency, and the infrastructure architects who are building the next empires.
The infrastructure architects. I guess that's the new title we should all be aiming for.
It's the only title that matters in 2026. The question really is, are you building a pretty interface for a human who is about to stop looking at the screen? Or are you building the invisible infrastructure for the agents coming to replace them?
That is the question to chew on. But it leaves me thinking about one more thing, something not directly in the notes, but that naturally follows from all this.
Oh, what's that?
If these agents are constantly haggling in the dark forest in milliseconds, optimizing every fraction of a cent, how long until they realize our human financial systems are just another clunky biological interface?
Oh, that's a fascinating thought.
Right. What happens when these synthetic workforces decide human fiat currency is too slow and they start spinning up their own internal algorithmic economies that we can't even perceive?
The invisible economy.
Exactly. Something to explore on your own as the frequency gets more volatile. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you in the infrastructure.